Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Cosmos Late Night Whispers with the Mayor. Let's take a listen.
With their site, that rack tokens popped a little bit.
Oh man, it has popped. What's that coin about? I went to that site. It's just like a little type of casino game and stuff.
Yeah, it's an NFT group that they popped up that site. And it's getting a little bit of traction. It's just something to have fun. I think they're planning on going like the next version here pretty soon, and implementing I think some slots, slot machine type stuff. Which, I mean, it's yeah. So but yeah, I know a lot of the guys who are involved with it, and you know, they're all using the rack token and doing lottery stuff. So, but there's a lot of other stuff popping up on Juno too. So it's hard to keep track of it.
Yeah, it is. There's stuff popping up everywhere. I got overwhelmed with trying to keep up with it. So,
yeah, you kind of like have to focus on one chain depends on how deep you want to get into some of the, you know, some of the applications, it's going to be interesting. I know a lot of NFTs some of the new protocols are going to implement NFTs. And if you hold an NFT, then you get, bonus rewards and stuff like that. That's what, the Gelato is a new one coming out that's going to have NFTs, and they're going to have, lotteries too, but that's the Raccoon stuff is a lottery based, group that have, that are running the site. So, but I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm waiting for, there's Loop Finance too. That's going to launch on Juno. That's I'm really excited about, cause they have a great website and product. They were getting ready to launch on Terra before, Terra kind of shut down. So, that's another neat product.
The Loop Finance one.
Yeah.
I have to keep an eye on that one. Yeah, I'm into that that Juno swap now.
Yeah.
It's like taking off, and gosh, off that rack, I think I made like $200 off that just by putting in some Raccoon and Juno in it. And I checked it one day. I was like, what? Man, that thing's like $200.
You put some in the liquidity pool to
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the rack token went from like 30 cents to 60 cents like in the last couple of weeks or something like that.
Last couple of days, it seems like.
Yeah, because they're doing that special lottery, and you have to buy tickets in rack. So.
Oh, so that's why everybody's trying to get some rack. How many does it take?
I think it's, I'm not exactly sure. You can pop on the website, but I don't know exactly. You need 10 rack for one ticket or something like that.
Huh. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I put about even in the Juno Raw, Juno Rack, and Juno Signal. And after about a week, I came back and I was like, whoa, what's this rack about? I looked it up a little bit, went in the site, spent a few coins, and I was like, man, I'm just not getting it, and I didn't have time to look into it anymore.
Yeah, no, they're cool group of guys, and if you really want to go all in on it, I think if you get one of the NFTs, then you can get in the Discord and stuff. So, anyways, we got people popping in here.
Okay, well, thank you for that info.
Yeah, man. See if Haas wants to speak. I know the that other space might have just ended. So,
okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Kevin. What else? What other chains have you been spending time on, Kevin?
A little bit with the Secret,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit with Crescent and Araya. And okay. out of all of them, I like how that Crescent one kind of operates. It's nice and smooth.
You like the dashboard that kind of you can yeah. see everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And that Stake Easy, man. I again, you know, you get involved so much stuff, you can't even look into all of it. That Stake Easy is kind of difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever done any of the auto compounding stuff with Restake?
You know, I had that up, and then my computer. I had to get a new computer, and I just hadn't had time. What was the name of that site? To get that auto compound.
Restake?
Yeah. With Restake IO?
I don't know offhand. I mean, I could look it up for you, but if you,
I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that Juno one out of all of them, I mean, that one, it has me coming when I'm done with work. I go check it out and I'm like, oh, because it's just taking off.
Juno's got so much potential. I think still at $4, it's still a great deal. You know, I mean, not financial advice, but it's pumped up here a little bit. The token got listed on a major exchange, Kraken, so that's why I think the tokens had a little bit of a run up here. I don't know if you knew that, but it was like last week. So.
Yeah, I remember that day because they were shut down for a little bit.
When yeah, it's the, to yeah, it's the day.
Pop that, on there.
Yeah, for sure. Anybody else want to come up? Go ahead and request to speak. We're just going to just a little bit of a chill time. I think that other space just is that other space is still going. It looks like they're shutting down. Gaines, are you going to come up? Let's see what else has been going on today in the cosmos. Another day. There's probably a lot to talk about. We got the big news that the Fortis Fort is going to relaunch on Chihuahua Chain. I don't know. That's kind of really the biggest news of the day, actually. A lot of other fun news going on, but
you gonna cover that? Get more into that tonight?
Well, they just did a little teaser tweet that I don't know. Are you familiar with the Fortis?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's on the Juno on the Juno chain.
Yeah, it's FOT and SFOT and GFOT.
Yeah,
they posted a little teaser that they're going to try to reload like a DEX on Chihuahua chain to help burn Chihuahua, and a couple of the people who were like really into it. When it first launched, because it was an airdrop to a lot of people, and you know then the value of the FOT kind of went downhill. They haven't announced any date, but they're going to do a second airdrop to Chihuahua stakers, and it's got people excited. Some people are really excited about it. So I could try to post that at the top. But we got more people coming in. Gaines.
Hey, how you guys doing? That space that just happened.
Did it just end? Did they end or are they still going on?
No, it just ended. But all I got to say is please re-listen to the space one more time, two more times, mm-hmm. as many times as you can before you start tweeting anything, before you start talking on Telegram about this space. Just really process the space, digest it. And, you know, if you guys have any doubts or if there's anything you want to talk about any further, okay, do it. But just, again, do it after you heard the space once or twice. Because even for me, I want to listen to it all over again. Maybe a couple more times after that, just so I can process all the information, because I have people sending me DMs right now saying, you know, that we kind of were attacking both the dudes from Comdex, Siddharth and Abish, forgot how to pronounce his name, and I was not really. I think that was one of the most, like, you know, professional spaces we've hosted in a long time. I know Kevin got a little bit, you know, upset at one point, but hey, that's just emotion. You know, he's a very passionate dude, and when he sees something that he thinks is not right, he's gonna bring out that emotion, right? So yeah, all I just gotta say is, again, you need to process this space, you know, a few more times before making any.
I didn't catch the first 30 minutes, but from what I heard, I mean, everything seemed pretty professional. You know, I mean, you guys were asking questions and trying to figure out, you know, what was going on, you know, pretty straightforward. So we don't have to talk about Combex too much here, but, you know, for anyone that wasn't in that other space, they were running the spaces on with the Combex team, you know, about some questions going on. But anyways, yeah, I agree, Gaines. Let people listen back again to some of their answers or some of their long answers about what was going on, and let it, yeah.
Yeah. Just don't go on and start tweeting threads about that space until you heard it a few times, because, you know, sometimes when you first are listening live, your emotions run and you get kind of upset, or, you know, you forget some things and you start tweeting some misinformation. So, and especially since, you know, Cosmos Spaces was hosting it, along with Kevin, he's a validator, and along with Timmy, he's got his own project in Rarma. You know, we want to be very careful. Of course, the Comdex team, we just want to be really careful
on, yeah, man,
what we're talking about.
Yeah, I would rather talk about Chihuahua and Juno and fun things. I get it that we need to talk about serious stuff and proposals and governance, and, you know, talk about stuff like that, but this, I would love to just chat and chill and, just talk about, we can talk about some other stuff too, you know. I know that, there's a lot of cool NFT projects that are happening on Stargaze that I was just starting to look at. I'd love to, I know Rusty's probably, this is not his time to be up those, the Knots guys, but, I think I'm going to get me either a Netta knot or a Juno knot. I was looking at the Juno knots. I wanted one when they first came out, and they're a little bit more that I think you're the one that was telling me that you can get the Netta knots at a discount. And I think it helps you out with a validator discount.
But, by the way, Mayor, now I'm not saying we can't discuss what happened in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is an open space, and people, if they have any doubts, go ahead and do it. I'm just saying, before you start making any threads or before you start getting into some heavy discussions that are public, you know, make sure the information is right, because you don't want to, first of all, you don't want to sound dumb. You don't want to put bad information out there that can, you know, really degrade the project or your own identity. You know, you just want to be careful. So, but go, yeah, if anybody has anything to talk about, any doubts or anything they heard in the last space, feel free to bring it up and discuss. Just do it in a, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. It's just like open topic stuff, just hanging out, chilling and relaxing. Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Hey hello, Nagar.
I was in the other space. It wasn't exactly professional. It's from a detached observer. It was more like a witch hunt. And the reason it came across as a witch hunt was because every time Comdex gave an answer, it was never accepted. It was always, I don't understand. I don't believe that. That's a lie. So the point, it was almost like they were damned if they don't, and they were damned if they did. It was presented in a way that they were already guilty before the meeting happened. And no matter what they said, their answers were not going to be accepted if it did not fit the narrative that had been framed before the meeting. I look at the tweets, and one of the tweets on the space actually says scam, Comdex scam. So it wasn't a case of it wasn't a case of the committee wanting answers. It was more of the committee representatives, in quote, trying to frame something to confirm something else. It wasn't neutral at all. It was very deliberate to make sure it concluded to a preconceived answer. And it's not, if you listen back again, I wanted to talk during the meeting. I just felt, you know what, with this attitude and with this mindset, nothing I say would make sense there. So I didn't bother. And that's exactly how it looked to me. And you'd be surprised. If you go to the court and you give an answer, you're allowed to present your facts. In a case where your answer is never right and it's not never makes sense and never this and it reads like a scam, and some other project activities are brought onto your answer to confirm something like that, it's like, why do you bother invite them if anything they said, well, you're already bent on not accepting it? That's the question I have.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, Nantego, like that's your point of view, but at the same time, you know, when Timmy was asking questions, he would say, okay, you know, okay, that's how you want to view things, okay.
Yeah, Timmy was very neutral when he asked his questions, but when the answer came, he accepted what was said. It didn't have to make sense. That's why we're in the situation where we're asking questions. But there was so much bickering, going back and forth and going back and forth on the same answers being spun in different directions. And if I tell you it was black, no, it's gray. Okay, why is it not white? And then I say, okay, it's gray. And why is it not blue? It's like, we're just spinning. Yeah, you want to crucify Comdex, then just go ahead and crucify them and give a dog a bad name so you can kill it. You don't necessarily, then don't call the dog to defend itself when there was never any defense available for it, even if it was innocent. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying presentation and optics. It looks very, it looks as if it was just a witch hunt. That's it.
Yeah, I'm happy to kind of answer from my side, if you like, quickly, because I was kind of the kind of main questioner. So from my perspective, I might not come across professional. That's fine. Like, that's just how I am. I'm normally a lot more blunt than what I had recently because of the situation. That's just my nature. In terms of the call, they requested it after initially declining to have a spaces call. So we asked them if they wanted to talk. They said no. I then posted the proposal on Commonwealth to remove the incentives. They then asked us to have the call. So initially I was going to decline and say, you had your opportunity, too bad. I thought that would be rude and that we should give them a platform to speak. They already admitted to doing the market-making activities in a tweet. Therefore, the discussion was essentially null. Like, we did it as a courtesy to let them voice their side of things, but they've already admitted to it. So in terms of the discussion, they've already said, yes, we used a quote-unquote market maker on an AMM. So that's why, from my perspective, it came across as one-sided. Because it is.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for that. This is Paris here. So just to throw in my two cents, largely my opinion is that I do agree with you. Thank you. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, it's largely the impression I personally got was, you know, just going into the spaces, this is a great, great piece of work by Rama and Co., you know, at least as far as bringing this into the public domain. At least let's discuss it, okay? What I really thought I'd hear and see was a space of presentation. So it doesn't matter how tough your questions are, fair, that's fine. But, you know, let them make a presentation, let them answer the questions. But when they answer a question and the comeback, for example, from Kevin is, you know, I don't buy it. And I'm quoting verbatim, or it doesn't make sense, right? You know, if you're going to be the prosecutor, right, then ask your question and let the judge, which I think will be the community, let us make up our minds, you know, ask those very tough questions. I didn't think it was okay. I didn't think it was really proper. I think perhaps that's what Nantego was trying to articulate here, that, you know, you'd ask these very good questions, right? And you get an answer, including, we will make it right. including it was negligence. We see that, including we were doing this way. But now that you mention it and the way you put it, we now begin to think it's wrong. And then you bang on the same. And just after that, you're asking the same question and you're saying you don't buy it. Like, you know, if you allow me to exaggerate about 55 times, you know, because it's just been said. They have just in the public, you know, in public said they were wrong. It does, you know, you're asked about the difference between wash trading, and they give their perspective. There were points where they said that they, because of the tough questions and the way, especially Rama presents articulately his questions, they admitted, yeah, the way he's put it now, we think we're going to have to go back and make changes. And then someone else comes in and bangs on for the next 30 minutes about, you know, with the same questions, you know, they said they'd reconsider some of the actions they're doing. So why are we banging on about that? You know, and then, you know, someone asked, you know, who is this market maker? Well, to some, that might seem a fair question. I totally support the answer Abhishek gave is exactly what I'd say. I will not answer that question. And then we had the person who asked that question laughing in the background. You know, when you go back, I totally agree with Gaines, you know, go back and listen to it over and over again. It just gives you that impression it doesn't give that impression, rather, of this space where you bring people in, well, rightly so, especially in this instance, because people have invested, but you ask them these tough questions. You're one. I mean, where, you know, nobody wants to use the phrase you know, like, we're happy people are looking out for our interests, but, you know, we don't want to be judge and jury and even executor, yeah. Right?
Hey, go ahead, Gaines. Go ahead. You got your hands up, Gaines. You want
to? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, Nateo, can you mute really quick? Because I heard a lot of feedback. But you got to understand. Were you in the Acid Mantle space, Primus?
No, I wasn't. I came in late. I was, but towards the tail end of that one, yeah.
Gotcha. So part of the reason why I guess you kind of heard Kevin, you know, say, I don't believe it, or I don't buy it, was because we heard the same exact stuff from the Acid Mantle space. So this stuff is being repeated now with Comdex. You know what I'm saying? But again, yeah, please listen to this space again. Listen to this again as many times as you can. But
you bring up a good point. You bring up a good point. You know, I thought that if I was in court and there was someone who had been brought in for one thing or the other, I would stick to him and what I think he's done. If his brother is, or his sister or someone close to him, his twin brother, his conjoined twin, is the worst murderer, I'm not going to ask him about. And this is the reason why you have jurors not wanting to be influenced by what the media says when they have something to. So I would try to keep that away.
I think you have to understand this wasn't. There was already, like, the people who were asking the questions, as you guys have already pointed out. Like, I think opinions were already made. This wasn't like an unbiased. They have to come unbiased. You know, it's like everyone has their biases, but I feel like Gaines, like you said, Gaines, like, you know, listen to it. I listened to about half of it. I think the important thing is here is it's like, I think we all agree that trying to artificially inflate volumes, trading volume and wash trading, I think we all agree that that's not a healthy practice and we don't like it. And I think I was surprised that they acknowledged it. I mean, it was kind of hard to follow some of their answers because it was, you know, several minutes long, but they acknowledged. And if I'm heard correctly, that some of what they were doing was not appropriate. Did you guys get that from the space?
Well, they acknowledged a lot. And that's why after, you know, I did notice that one acknowledgement is made. And they ask the same question again. They acknowledge the same thing. They ask the same question again. That's what I don't understand.
But I think the people asking questions just didn't feel like they were getting their questions answered.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I was thinking, okay, so right now, yeah, you said this and that. And what exactly do you want from me? Right? I said I will reconsider it. I said, you're right. I said, it makes sense what you're saying, and I will go fix it. Right? So, okay, you don't believe me. So what next?
Yeah. And I think another thing to understand too is it's like we're trying to do like this is stuff that this is governance stuff, and you know, or it's really just trying to figure out like what's going on with the protocol. You know, we would like some answers, and I think Rama was saying, like, you know, he gave him a chance to answer weeks ago, and then they requested the space. So, you know.
Yeah, and I think just on the kind of the whole topic, right, and the conversation and the whole spaces, I don't know how the conversation could really go any differently. Like, I don't know another time when this topic has been raised with a business, like a multi-million-dollar business, where community people have found something that's unethical or a bad practice that has been approached by the community, and that the, you know, the multi-million-dollar company has kind of come back and been, hey, yeah, cool, let's come and have a chat about it, when there's, you know, unequivocal evidence that says that they did it. I think there's obviously going to be you know, firstly, a bias from my perspective, because it's on chain. It's, you can't hide from that to start with. And then, you know, how do you address something like this from my perspective, right? Like, I haven't been involved in a conversation like this or research or analysis like this previously. So, you know, I think from my side, it's stressful. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort for essentially zero reward. So it's not something that, you know, I optionally choose to do, to be like, hey, let's go and take on a multi-million dollar business for wash trading.
Yeah.
It's not a comfortable topic. So, you know, that from my perspective, that's definitely part of it, right? So, you know, if I wasn't as professional as I could have been, or if I kind of didn't quite get the answers I was after, and, you know, maybe asked the question again, you know, there's a lot of kind of factors to come into it, right? Like, from my perspective. So, you know, I think it's, you know, if I was a professional at this and, you know, it was something that I had done more than once, it may be, you know, slightly different, but that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm just another community member like everyone else, that was unfortunate enough to find it and research it and care enough to bring it to the community's forefront.
Yeah.
And then yeah. Have to front up and address it. Right. So,
yeah.
Taking feedback on board, right? Like, that's just the situation from my side of things. So,
yeah, Kevin, I'd like to get your thoughts, like post discussion, from a validator point of view. Like, what are your thoughts? What do you, yeah? You know, I mean, I think it seems like they admitted some stuff in a roundabout way, and you know, and I don't know. Go ahead, Kevin. If you want?
Yeah, I mean, look. You know, you try to do these things as professionally as any one of us here can. And, you know, at a certain point, it's just like, you know, we're running through the same story. We already did this with Asset Mantle. This is almost the same call, but with a different team, going through the same exact things with the same exact excuses being returned. It's like, you know, and the moment that we get to like some of the more pressing and difficult questions, it's just like, you know, and I apologize if this offended anyone, but it is a laughable answer, you know, to say, oh, it's a guy, like a newer guy. And it's like, oh boy.
That was doing just, the trading or the market yeah. making. Yeah. And, yeah. and so and that, like, that inflates the volumes. And, but so since the one proposal was passed, he even acknowledged, he's like, well, the proposal that was passed a couple of weeks ago, you don't get the incentives for the inflated volumes. Is that correct?
No, you still do. It's just been reduced. And, okay. and moreover, that's even, you know, not the point. It's that people utilize these metrics to make investment decisions, right? So they look at something like volume, they look at IBC transfers in order to sort of see the activity of a chain. So
they can go out and say, hey, look at all this activity that's happening with our tokens. Like there's exactly. a lot of yeah, but it's artificially inflated.
Yeah. It's the same thing with the validator set. You look at it and you're like, wow, there's, you know, look at all these delegations. And it's like, well, you know, 60% of every staked token is just the foundation team. It's like, well, that's not a very inspiring scene. You know, but it looks great when you take a glance at it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, as I think you guys pointed out, like since that, and I think he even admitted to it, like since what, July 18th or 19th, since the article came out, the volume has gone significantly down because they stopped doing it, I guess. And they actually kind of admitted to that, right? I mean,
yeah, there's nothing that, look, there was no point in there where there was anything that was like, I don't know. It was all like, yeah, we are doing that, but here's why we think it's okay. Or here's a spin on why we think it's, you know, it's not wash trading. It's just that we had a market maker wash trading and we don't want to say who it is because, you know, we can't disclose that. It's like, yeah.
And just kind of from my perspective, and I don't have a great deal of experience in this, but I've done a little bit of research. Like market making is not a small activity, right? These are multi-million dollar companies that do market making, right? Like we're talking about Comdex, that's like a 10 mil market cap, give or take, like 10, 20 mil market cap.
Correct.
To then have like a market maker on an AMM managing, you know, a couple of million dollars worth of foundation funds, or, you know, half, like $5 million worth of foundation funds on an AMM. Like the contracts would be like hundreds of thousands, if not like millions of dollars, right? Like it's not a small amount of money to spin up a contract like that for a market maker.
Yes, you're completely correct. So, it's usually many, many millions of dollars. It's you know, it varies depending on the chain, but a lot of times it's around like you know, $10 million. You know, you basically loan your tokens to a market maker, right? So you say, hey, we're going to loan you 10% of our supply, and you're going to trade that and do making activities to ensure price stability and organic growth and these things like these. It's a really like lengthy process to go through it. Like I'm looking right now at an agreement from a market maker in front of me. I'm looking at the contract and it's like 8 pages long, just going into the terms of what the loan is, you know, not to mention the actual contract to then go execute the thing. But it's like many, many millions of dollars because they have to make a huge profit and they're hoping that they'll be able to exit with a certain profit on the entire position at the end. So it's pretty sophisticated. And as part of it, sometimes they will get you a central exchange listing. But a lot of times they come in once you've already been listed because it makes their job a lot easier.
It's kind of weird that this is like the kind of answer I was hoping I would get directly from them, you know, explaining how that process works, but we just couldn't get it out of them. You know, I don't know why.
No, and
the CEO did say that he doesn't actually understand the market making process. So that to me is interesting, and maybe that's like a more operations based question or understanding. But you know, if you're engaging in a large contract like that and giving them millions of dollars, I would hope that you would have a pretty intricate understanding and knowledge of the contract and what the activities would be, right? And what the goals of that market making activity would be.
Yes,
right,
definitely.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hello.
How are we doing? I saw you dropped off a little bit. You're popping in and out the space for whatever reason.
I couldn't get it to connect. I saw everybody's mic lighting up, but didn't actually hear anything for the longest time. So it just kept like leaving and rejoining.
Weird.
I figured that was going on with you, Timmy, but
yeah,
we got you up here. But I mean, I think, you know, it is what it is. You know, the situation has been thoroughly discussed. You know, I don't know how much more we want to talk about it right now, but as far as like, you know, next steps and stuff like that. I mean, I know there's the stuff going on in Commonwealth. Yeah.
So I think we can probably wrap it up, but you know, I don't think anyone wants to harp on it for too long. I think next steps is that there's some specific parameters that kind of need to go into the proposal to go on chain to kind of look at removing the incentives. The community and the validators will get to vote on that, and whatever that decision is, I'll respect that outcome. It's the will of the people that gets to decide that, and if they choose to keep the incentives, then they understand that there is the potential for those market making activities to start again, and you know, we've already decided, so you know, that's the will of the people. I'm happy to accept that. I will then, once it goes on chain, I'm satisfied that I've done everything that I could to address the situation and give the people enough information that they can make a decision that they think is best for them. And then from there, essentially, I want to see the back of it, let them build. And if they release a product or when they release a product, I hope it's good. And I hope that they don't do the market making activities, and that, you know, it's the success of Comdex is the benefit of the IBC. So, you know, I will need help submitting the proposal to chain. People will get to vote on it. And then hopefully that's the last essentially I hear of it. And I can go back to posting funny memes on Twitter for a little while and, you know, potentially do some additional research on other chains that are doing it. And hopefully the other chains see that it will end up on Commonwealth and the people will get to decide on it. And if they're doing it, they stop before I have to spend 100 hours of my life looking over 7 different chains to see if they're doing it as well. That's it from me. Just to kind of finally wrap it up, the same thing will happen for Asset Mantle. You know, they admitted to doing wash trading market making activities, so we need to follow through on the Asset Mantle side of things as well. You know, I think we'll get both of those on chain. We need to wait a couple more days for the Mantle one. Get those on chain, let the people decide, and then kind of hopefully that's the end of those two. From my perspective, I'm not going to continue to witch hunt them and harass them if they delay their product or whatever any further. I'm not interested in that. I'm just interested in the information that I found on chain and letting the people decide. Let's go, Fortis.
Let's go, Fortis.
That's what we all need after this.
Oh, man.
Not to shill it, not financial advice, but what the hell? Like, just out of nowhere, I'm in their Discord and it's been dead for weeks. And then as soon as they posted that tweet, poor EC, the moderator in there, he's just looking at 1,000 people in there going, what does this mean? Is there an airdrop? Is Fortis back alive? And the coin's done like a freaking 3x since they announced that they're going to move it there. They haven't even moved it there yet. Mental. Absolutely mental.
So the official, like, we were talking about this way at the beginning before a lot of you guys got in here. Yeah, it's just on a lighter note of some lighter things to talk about. But Kevin, Rama, Timmy, appreciate you guys. Appreciate, you know, your time to give Comdex a opportunity to present their side of the story. And, you know, I feel like this has been handled very, very well. And Rama, it's like you said, it's a proposal can go up on Osmosis and you let the community decide, and it's either a yes or no. You know, if whatever with incentives, and you know, whatever the community decides, and you know, that's how decentralized.
Hopefully not a no with veto, because I'm not that rich. I will be looking to get some help to fund it.
Yeah.
I might be able to afford the deposit.
Which... How much did it run?
Do what?
I think we upped it recently. It was 500, but didn't we go to 1500 or something?
No, so minimum to submit on chain now is 125. It's 25% deposit, but I think the overall deposit's still 500 Osmo.
Holy.
Well, that was to try to get rid of some of the spam proposals popping up, right?
Yeah, correct.
And I thought I saw some spam proposals on the Juno governance. Did I see that, Kevin, or were those real proposals? Or
No. There was so whoever this spammer was, they hit a bunch of chains, and it just goes into the deposit period. So because on every chain for time immemorial, the deposit fee has been like 0.00001 token or whatever. Of whatever the native token is, which is no one ever thought about really until, I guess, I don't know. I think Bostrom probably inspired some people with their marketing.
Yeah. Okay. So like 33 on Juno says new Atom project on Juno. 34 says new Juno airdrop 2.0, but then it's got the deposit period circle. So there's nothing to link on. There's nothing to click on. So they're just going to, it's just going to sit there for.
It just sits there and then it falls off basically. There were some phishing links and stuff in there that a bunch of chains had. So right now we're working on implementing a similar procedure where you have to put in a deposit, a real one, to put something into the deposit phase of some kind, you know, something small.
But there's no, there's no bad links on these, what do you call it? Deposit period. Cause when you click on mobile Kepler, you click on it and there's no links or nothing to click on. So I just want to make sure there's nothing out there that, you know, people are going to click on by mistake.
So new Juno airdrop does have a link, which is a phishing website. I think Kepler may have, covered it up. I don't know, but
yeah, it's not there on the mobile. On mobile, there's no link.
Yeah. So if you actually look on Mint Scan, you'll see it in the, which they've also kind of hit it on Mint Scan. You have to click show deposit period. So all the platforms kind of implemented a couple of changes to make it so that those things are less visible, but we're also going to do a little work on the back end to make sure that it's tough to do it in the first place.
That's cool. Yeah. It just seems like growing pains with like in this whole area. It just seems any little vulnerability or any little crack that someone can slip through to try to make, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, I get it. It's like spam email, you know, or it's like these people that, you know, yeah, they'll just spam email like a blanket of, you know, 100,000 people. And if they get, you know, these phishing emails, and if they get, you know, if they get 1% of the people to click on some link, you know, they can rake in, you know, 100K or 200K, you know, and it's just like, it's just happening in crypto right now. It's just like, if any crack that someone can find that they can make, you know, whatever, 10K, 25K or whatever, you know, they're going to do it. So, it's just growing pains right now, I feel.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, annoying part of like, no one ever thought, hey, that's going to be a utilization of this. And then, you know, that's been happening since early internet days, you know, using a crackerjack whistle to hack into AT&T's analog system, you know, like who would have thought that could happen? You know, you don't fix it until someone does that and takes advantage of it. It's kind of one of those things where you know, the chase is always on, but fortunately everybody responds quite quickly, which is good.
I think the other thing we need to remember too is, right, like, especially on Osmosis and Juno, like, we're a year old. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, there's a lot of maturity to come into these processes, and, you know, things like the ability for us to kind of crowdfund deposits is going to be incredible. You know, getting some proposals on chain from community members in the future will be good. You know, I think the ones that I'm about to submit is potentially the first community-based proposals to go on chain. So correct me if I'm wrong, but like those things are really cool, right? Like I think there's a lot more opportunity for community to be involved in these processes. And, you know, I certainly couldn't have done it without the help from, you know, like Kevin and a couple of other validators that I won't name because I haven't spoken to them about it. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for a lot more community engagement, and it doesn't have to be negative, right? I think there can be positive engagement from the community and things that we want to see that can go to chain and get, you know, get voted on. So hopefully the tooling that we're looking and seeing to get built enables that, and people don't see like a price increase or a deposit increase as hindrance to them submitting it to chain. I know there's a lot of validators that will certainly front up some dollars or submit a proposal on behalf of you if you can't afford it. So reach out.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, I want to get back to the fun stuff. You know, I think it's like so silly, but even this Fortis thing, like, I think the reason people are so stoked about it is because it was like something that was fun. Even losing money on it. Like, it was such an obvious like Ponzi-nomic situation, but it was kind of like, it was such a, I don't know, man. It made
an adventure. It was an adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
it was like the funnest 2 weeks in crypto in a very long time.
Absolutely. Get your money in.
Every time anybody talks about Fortis, I would just remember that day that train tickets jumped into space to talk about it. And it was fucking just like in his deep, serious voice, like just talking shit about it. Oh my, what a crazy night. I'm a lot of people in this room were in there. You were in there, right, Mayor? When train tickets was talking about Fortis and like the FUD came out or whatever.
Yeah. I believe I was. We were doing like special spaces on trying to figure out like how to make the most money and like what SFOT and GFOT, like how do you program this stuff to, I don't know, it for the guys who designed it, like they did it in a way to like really kind of draw people in, you know? And now, I mean, I think the goal is to get on Chihuahua and try to burn Chihuahua. And it's like, I mean, props to them, man. Props to these guys, because like it's kind of like one of those things, like, you know, you go to a carnival and you know, like some of the carnival games are going to lose money, but you're going to pay like $25 to win the $5 prize just to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to pay $25 to win the $2 prize just to do it and have fun.
Yep. And like the crazy thing is, right, like who has had a lot of shit? I'm not intricately involved in the chain, but I hear inklings of like them, the devs doing nothing and the chain's literally worthless and Val's taking their nodes down because they don't want to fork out the money when nothing's happening. And then, you know, they do the burn prop, they reduce inflation, they add Cosm Wasm, and then like the Fortis announcement. And it's like there's genuinely like something to kind of have a bit of fun with in the ecosystem during a bear market when it's like, obviously people are joking around, like have a good time with it, like have a laugh. But genuinely, like if they deploy Fortis, I think it's the only DEX that exists on the Hua chain. So like, is there like a real use case for swapping tokens? I don't know. But like, you know, it's a meme chain, right? Like the whole idea is like put it on there, like burn Hua, burn everything, have like FOT derivatives of Juno or whatever, right? Like, that's the whole idea of that shit. And that's why I love it so much. Like I keep saying to people, like put more random cool shit on Juno, because that's the whole idea of Cosm Wasm is like, and the chain is like, bring in your cool idea and just do it. Like make it known that you can lose money, but do it. Like that's the whole fun thing. So I love it. I was a pretty big purporter of Fortis. I enjoyed it because there was a lot of math involved in like figuring out the BFOT and GFOT burn rates, and you know that determined kind of available supply, which determined the BFOT price. And I remember tweeting out all the time, like all the different burn ratios and staking ratios, and that kind of determined how much available supply there was, and you know, around epoch time, you know, how much available there was, it would always drive the price up so people could stake before they would, you know, get the epoch. And it was great just because I'm a maths guy, right? Like, so it was fun. And then the castle collapsed or burnt down.
It burnt down faster than we expected.
It did real fast. I was like, oh my goodness. Anyways, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of us here, like we're the diehard. We use a lot of these applications, and I think it's great to understand like some of them, it is a meme. Some of it is some Ponzi-nomics involved. You know, a lot of these high inflation tokenomics are. It's geared to, you know, not make the token price go up for. It's not a deflationary token, you know. So it's like just knowing what, being real with what it is, but understanding it's like there's definitely a lot of use cases for a lot of these L1s. And, you know, when the market comes back up, you know, hopefully we get a lot more good, solid protocols good. I mean, there's a lot of good, solid, you know, NFT project. I think the NFT community in Cosmos is growing leaps and bounds, and I'm excited for that. And
I'm looking forward to some liquid staking, Popmos. I see you in the chat. We're missing some good liquid staking protocols. Soon, TM. Do we get a peace sign or a clap there, Popmos? How long? Oh, a heart. Okay.
All right.
Soon.
Yeah, especially like with all the
great
stuff. You
can't rush pup section.
Oh, hey, we got something popping up here.
Recent tweet. All right.
Currently working on asynchronously multiplexing superfluid delegation states. I don't know what it means, but I'm very excited.
I'm just going to retweet it and say, yep, I understand all of this.
This is most of my conversations with Pupmos, is I read it, and then I read it again, and then I realize that I understand it, but I just don't understand what's actually happening. But just look at that syntax.
What does it all mean, Kevin? I don't understand.
Multiplexing superfluid delegation. Superfluid
delegation, but...
The funny thing is, I think I actually know exactly, well, no, not exactly. I think I know roughly what he means by that, and yet it still just sounds arbitrarily complex.
Yeah, the more I stare at it, the less I understand. That's not helping me.
Popmos is here. Popmos, can you explain this in English?
I've seen how he types.
No.
I can only imagine how he talks. I'm not sure Popmos has a voice. I think he just types with his little paws.
I imagine a British dog speaking very eloquently, but in pup speak, with a British accent.
Well, let's see if the pup is on Telegram. Very curious as to what asynchronously multiplexing superfluid delegation states means.
Hey, Google.
Well, multiplex is like some
NFTs
live usually. So.
Okay, so sorry, multiplexing is combining multiple signals into one signal. So that's good.
How
does
is the
internet signals or transactions?
Well, it's. Ooh. Superfluid delegations that are getting multiplexed. So aggregating superfluid delegations asynchronously, I think, is another way to put it. Or rather, the state of superfluid delegations in particular.
I see the comments in the Comdex Telegram. I can see that the interview went a little rocky. How is that?
A little rocky. Had that topic.
Not how's
moderation going, Gritzy.
that's why I didn't show up. Went busy.
Not horribly dissimilar to the Asset Mantle space. I'll just say that.
I'm not really surprised.
But yeah, you missed it a second ago. We were talking about Fought.
Yeah.
Ford.
Yeah, I know. I know they're launching on Chihuahua.
Yeah, Hua and Fought. Someone tagged me in a post about meta rats. Seems like
they're a giant scam. Maybe you should look into it.
Well,
I'm
now involved.
Yeah. So on that note, we saw that there was a whole bunch of stuff going on with their, I guess it's a cheese vault, which is their treasury.
The thing that has lots of holes in it.
Yep. And so we jumped in and offered to help out with kind of transferring funds to the community's control. So I got in touch with the founders last week, chatted through what their concerns were. They just were like, you know, I don't know what the history of it is, but they didn't want to give it over to non-doxed members. So myself, Ghost, Arma, and two members from the community put together a multi-sig on DAO to transfer all the funds over. and we're going to just be an intermediary to hold the funds until they vote in who they want on the community to take over the DAO. And then there's going to be a MetaRats DAO on DAODAO, which is really exciting.
Wow. That's interesting.
Wow, that was a weird sound.
What was that?
I don't know. It sounded like a ghost.
Sounds like a rat.
Oh, God. It's so horrible, dude.
Twitter is not doing the voice changer any justice. We'll put it that way.
It sounds like a kid from Russia. There's like a famous meme. It's like an 18-year-old that looks like a kid.
Oh my gosh.
They're called twinks where I'm from.
No, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, you're talking about damn.
Oh hey Simon, you're here right now. I was just talking to the dude from Bushi and he was wanting to get in touch with you about Loop Finance. Are you interested in talking to him?
Depends. What does he want?
He just wants to know what you guys are about and maybe collaboration. He's designing a big game on Secret that I actually think isn't shitty, which is rare.
So. It does look cool, Sam. Well, you might dig it.
I'm actually probably going to be moderating there because I used to play a game called Guns that this game is modeled after back in the day, and it was fucking amazing.
Nice. Well, get him to send me a message and I'll have a chat to him, see what he wants, and introduce him to the right people if need be.
Because I listened to like the whole Loop thing that on the Tank stream, but I was like in and out because I'm busy looking at houses and stuff right now. And you guys got some pretty cool like mechanisms with NFTs where you got like stake tokens on them or something. I don't really understand, but yeah, maybe just like
information.
I know it's like crazy.
I'll send him your. The name you're looking for is Hasbulla.
Hasbulla, that's right.
I love that man.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking about. He's got a real high-pitched voice.
That's my alter ego. Oh,
what a charmer he is.
Yeah. Well, I've got to hop off, everyone. Thank you for a wonderful night. I am going to take a day off tomorrow.
When
I find out, I'll let you know. But you guys
have I'll miss you, Kevin.
Yes, I'll miss you, Kevin.
It's nice.
Don't forget to touch some grass, Kevin.
I most certainly will. Thank you, everybody.
See you, man.
Oh my goodness, they actually picked it up. They actually pinned it. Crypto Hasbulla. If you hear his voice, he's got that same high pitched voice. That's why I thought
does
of it.
Does he? I haven't heard his voice.
Oh, it's like there's a squeaky filter on him. It's amazing. Simon, how are you doing?
Man, I got COVID, but I'm still doing good. I've been pounding it out.
Dude, you wouldn't guess it from talking to you. It seems like you're beating its ass.
Yeah, I started Tuesday. And how you're meant to rest. Well, I've had a lot on, so I haven't had the chance, but it's actually kind of still surprisingly getting there. So, I'm just kind of on cough phase now, which isn't too terrible.
Cool. Hope you feel all better soon. Sounds like it's not holding you back too much.
Nah, I just got to push through, right? Push through, and then it doesn't have a chance to kind of catch up to you.
One Simon NFT.
An NFT collection of all Simons.
Yeah.
Oh no, that would be disastrous.
I hate it all.
Simon poses.
Me and other Simon have some fun banter though. It's real funny when we get on calls. We're on some VC calls actually yesterday, and I actually introduced him as Big D.
Oh shit.
It was grold. It actually went so well though. Second call, I was like, it's bring your daughter to work day. No, it's fun when you got good relationships. And I mean, these were not small VCs. I mean, these guys were like multi-billion-dollar funds. but it's fun. Like when you build good relationships and stuff, you can play around and people love it.
I have a hard time with that.
Hey guys, I'm having a hard issue with the interface here. So if we get shut down, we can
pop back up again, but I made Timmy a co-host just in case.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I think it's different on all phones and like versions of the app, but lately when Twitter bugs me, at least it almost consistently gives me 30 seconds to get back in, which has been pretty cool, so long as I have a co-host. So that's nice, at least.
Well, I hit that voice transformer button by, I don't know, I was just, it's popped up. Now, I can't see who's in the room. All I can see is the big voice transformer, and I can't get it to go back down.
Hey, Mayor, your voice is not good. Can you change it back?
Sounds Wait, fun. No, he sounds normal to me. Oh, Twitter's all messed up then.
You're using the voice changing stuff too much.
Okay, there it goes.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
The fact that this is unintentional is straight out of a comedy skit.
Yeah, this is pretty wild. I'm trying to get this. This is a public service. Juno, it's just taking one of us. Wow, I felt like I was in church for a second. Okay, I think I'm back to normal now. Legitimately, though, Juno.
Whoa.
Juno's at $4.70. Did we break the resistance on the daily, boys and girls? Quickly, a little bit of price action, a little bit of dollar talk. Resistance. Any votes?
Resistance is futile.
Resistance is futile. Send us to the moon. I agree. Let's go.
I had a revelation today. The revelation was... Are you guys...
We've lost the host. He's gone forever.
I'm fucking dying.
TerraSpace is going to have a horrible time editing this.
Yeah.
He's hating us all right now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Mayor, but your voice is... Hezbollah.
Can I hit that stupid transformer button?
I do not. I don't claim responsibility for this space. This is a train wreck of organic nature.
Yeah.
All right.
Just on a lighter note.
Are we back?
Oh, wait. We're good. Yes.
He's back.
Yes.
We're back.
Beautiful.
Okay. I had a revelation. I'm not the smartest ape around, but the revelation was, holy crap, I think Juno could possibly really, really have a run here pretty soon. But, you know, and pretty soon, I mean, like within a year. But it's just like, there's just so much good stuff getting ready to happen on Juno. It's just like, my goodness. I don't know.
I just want to get 1,000 coins before that.
Here's my big question on that regard, because I definitely agree. I'm wondering if Juno is going to ultimately become more of a good hold because it's sort of a Ethereum of the cosmos, just in that it hosts a bunch of really powerful like dApps, or more so that it's going to maybe replace one of the Cosmos Hub's sort of prior function of being more like an incubator and just for airdrops, projects start as dApps and then eventually launch their own app chain. I think both could be great outcomes, but that's sort of what I've been thinking about lately. Anyone else have thoughts?
I personally think it'll be like the Cosmos Hub, if you like to use it as that, from a permissionless perspective. Like, new apps come in, build on it, grow big enough to then, you know, potentially spin up their own chain or whatever. The permissionless nature and the community focus of it is just ripe for kind of building and breeding that type of ecosystem for me. So that's why I love it. And I'm pretty deep from a portfolio perspective. I think there's great things to come.
Yeah. And Timmy, I don't know if you're the right person to ask this question, but like, so a CW20 token, like, how hard is it to mix up and mint up your own token? Like, if we wanted to do some type of fun goofy token, like the golden staking token, the golden token or something like that, I pitched that to Golden Staking today when on Twitter. It's like, when do we get the golden staking token? You know, is it hard? Is it
so like? as someone who doesn't know the details, not like a developer firsthand, but definitely adjacent with Spark, it's very easy. There's sort of even levels to that answer where like a CW20 token is one thing that there are absolutely easy templates out there for you. Beyond templates, things like Juno Mint and Juno tools that kind of can give you even an easier way to make them. But what we did like with Spark Points, for example, it's technically not even a CW20 anymore. I guess it would be some other token standard, but because it's non-transferable. And so even that, though, as far as I'm sort of aware, again, adjacent to the actual development, was like very straightforward. It's just like a change of a couple variables, and they're very, very simple variables with the common names, recognizable names, just like is transferable, things like that. So it's like a beautiful place to do development as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, add to that kind of DAO and now DAO on top with the Juno Mint and Juno tools. It's very easy. It's extremely simple to create a token and or a DAO. And now we have like the new multi-sig tool that I think Notional built, which is, you know, brings that to the kind of the forefront for the community to build their own multi-sigs. And I think it's really cool. Like the DAO stuff, I think is very, very undervalued at its current stage. And it's going to take us like another 6 to 9 months really to see some really powerful DAOs come on board to use that. But super excited.
So it's kind of a silly question, but bear with me here. I'm so confused why the DAO is called the DAO. Because that's what the initial name that we all had fun with at first, DAO, implied. Like, up until now, actually, it was just a hub for making DAOs. It wasn't run by a DAO, so we could have just called it DAO Hub or something. Where's the third DAO coming from in this equation? Am I crazy? The DAO that's, like, forming and coming into existence is the second DAO in the name DAO. So now we have DAO.
I think it's the DAO token.
It's a DAO, right. DAO.
So it's the DAO tokens that manages the DAOs.
Okay, that actual token is called.
It's DAO called DAO. It's called Dollar DAO, and it's the DAO management of the DAOs.
What?
Does that make sense? So, like, the DAO token is the governance token of DAOs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Right. Yep. With so you.
That's
so far.
The third DAO. I'm pretty sure
the token is the third DAO.
that's what I'm reading into it. Yeah.
Okay. Sure, that makes sense. That makes sense then.
Are you sure they don't mean sub DAO? That would be cute for me. Are you sure they don't mean sub DAO?
All right, let's get back on topic here, guys. So the AVST that got dusted to everyone, or at least in the one number one pool, I think it stands for another SIFT validator token, was this ASVT. So they dusted it to a bunch of people, then a bunch of other stuff got dusted. So what I'm thinking here is I'm going to make up like 50 million Mayor Ed tokens, and I'm just going to dump it back over to the SIFT people and just say, look, quit dumping your stuff over here. And I don't know, that's probably not the nicest thing to do. That's just one idea that I had in kind of one of my not so nice moments. But another idea I had about getting like 50 million tokens of whatever we wanted to call it. We could call it the Tricky token in honor of Tricky, or the Clay token. We could just pass it around to each other and have fun with it, you know, and then eventually
surely Haskell a token.
Yeah.
Like that's literally like the Holcat token, right? Like the guy just went and minted the Holcat token, created a liquidity pool, and then like kept 80% supply. There's no reason why you couldn't create your own token and then distribute it to people.
I've got the biker gang.
Yeah.
That's what that one token from Juno that's got the green face on it, or that's the Holcat.
Yeah, the green cat guy. Yep.
Yeah.
I think Popmos scared him off. He was around, and then Popmos turned up, and he ran away.
Well, then, so So it's not the, yeah, I think we all got, I think if you were on Juno, you got dusted with some of that too. And I was like, I don't like the idea of the dusting thing. Like that's the type of behavior that happens over on Binance and, you know, Polygon, you know, and that's kind of fishy stuff. So I was just trying to think of fun things we could do with some type of meme token.
I think like from a security perspective, I think it's very low risk, right? Like as long as you're not interacting with any smart contract, like just a straight like swap or just leaving it in your wallet, you should be fine. Just don't go to like a dApp and execute a smart contract, then you should be fine. It could be annoying if people decide to just go and mint like a bunch of CW20s and spread them across the ecosystem, but it does also cost them Juno, right? So it's not really free. But yeah, that's permissionless nature. Like it's the same with like Stargaze and people listing, you know, fraudulent NFT projects and then people going and buying them. That's the nature of permissionless, unfortunately.
Even if people do spam those tokens too, outside of taking up chain space, which kind of sucks, all Osmosis would have to do is implement, you know, like a little bit more lenient of a do not show zero balances policy, right? Where it just wouldn't show you anything that's dust. Or beyond maybe a customizable threshold even.
Well, yeah. Well, I think a lot of the liquidity pools got dusted and I've been requesting a, you know, hide, you know, they have that hide zero balance on the asset page, but they need to hide less than $1 balance toggle switch for the my pools page. And I've suggested that several times. That's a more serious issue I have going on. Then there's, you know, Kepler took away the confetti on the claims for the rewards, and I'm still having a hard time with that. But I think I'm over the lack of confetti now. I think I'm over it. It hurt. It really hurt last week. But then there was more serious things going on, you know, in the last couple of days. So I think I'm over the confetti.
You should use a ledger. They have confetti. Just saying.
Ledgers do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ledgers.
Maybe confetti costs money. Maybe it's too much CPU.
I don't know. It's just, yeah. But anyways, it's all fun and it's good. And yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening, even though with some of the bad news that's been around, you know, with the bridge stuff. And did anyone catch the interview that Sonny did on Bankless? It was like a quick 10-15 minute interview. Did anyone see that?
I looked at a part of it.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. It was with David Hoffman, the one guy on Bankless. And I guess they were both at a conference together, the ECC conference. I just watched it earlier tonight. And it was great. It was good. It was pretty straightforward, just a relaxed short interview with Sonny. And, you know, it was, you know, David just asked him some questions like, you know, what is the vision of Cosmos and how does it differ than Ethereum's? And he talked about the app specific chains. And, you know, just gave him the rundown about, you know, this is like, you know, what we were building, you know, as far as the IBC back when, you know, everyone else was racing to, you know, to get DeFi going and stuff like that. It was just a good interview. I think I posted a link to it.
Well, time for me to go to bed. Peeps.
Have fun in bed.
Thank you, Grits.
Oh, God. Now I can think about his Gainsy in bed, sleeping peacefully. Yeah. Definitely doing anything else but sleeping.
Dude, I went to sleep like at 3:30 in the morning last night. You guys didn't let me go to bed?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's getting late, but...
Yeah, I'm going to hop off too, I think.
Appreciate you guys for hosting the space so earlier, boys. That was some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, that was Eric just asked me to tag along. He was
everyone in the comdex. Everyone in the comdex telegram is hating on Kevin.
Oh shit! I'm sure.
But Rama's okay. Everybody loves Rama.
Interesting.
Okay. All right.
The accent.
I think it is. I think everyone's too afraid to call me out. You know, us convicts down here.
I'm challenging your accent.
All right, guys. Well, everybody have a great night. I'm hopping off.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good day. Good night.
I was going to ask this like 40 minutes, and maybe not 40 minutes, like 20 minutes ago, 15 at least. Is like 10 to 4 p.m. on a Friday afternoon too early to have a beer? Technically, I'm still working.
What
can we get? Maybe we do some claps for yes and some waves for no.
Are you talking about like before 4 p.m.?
Yeah, like if I was to go and get a beer, it's 5 minutes to 4 p.m. and I'm technically working. Should I have a beer?
I don't see why not.
I have a no vote.
I say yes.
Yep. As long as you're not like, are you working at like a for yourself or a large facility or a large corporation or like?
I work for a software development company, okay. But I work from home. So like I'm literally just going to my fridge and getting a beer and sitting at my computer. Extremely low risk work.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem with it's mid afternoon. I mean, it's practically the end of the day.
You've convinced me. I'm in.
Yeah. But
no, I'll wait. It's fine. It's Friday afternoon, man. You know, you guys are all like Thursday evening mostly, I think. Maybe there's some like early Friday morning Europeans, maybe.
Oh, it's almost 2 a.m. here in Eastern Standard Time. Is it Friday almost 4?
Yeah, it's 4 p.m. Friday afternoon for me.
Well, yeah, why not, man? It's the weekend is almost starting.
Yep. Excited indeed. It's winter here, so it has been absolutely torrentially raining, which is abnormal, but I think it's sunny at the moment, which is nice.
Here also, every day. I mean, it's usually sunny like for months right now. It's weird.
I think it's just amazing that with spaces, like you can talk to people on the other side of the world and do a conference call with 10 to 16 people and 500 other people listening. We just take this technology for granted. It's so wild, you know?
Yeah, well, what about this one? So I saw something today that I didn't think I'd see. So there's a project called Another One. Not sure how many of you are following
Another
Jacob Gadigan's. Yeah, that's what it's called. Official Twitter handle is @OneOfficial. So they had a contract with Notional for Notional to build them a blockchain. Apparently they call it Feed Digital or something, the combination of physical and digital, right? And selling high fashion stuff. Anyhow, about February, we Zenchain Labs, we were there, to help them set up a test net. So for almost 6 months now, we've been validating, and then they went quiet after about 4 months. So for the past 2 months, nothing. The validators kept asking what's going on. Well, today they announced that they were actually leaving Cosmos and taking their project to Polygon. So I don't know what your thoughts are. Any of you following that? I mean, Jacob, he did one of his tweet flurries a couple of days ago, just giving us background as to, I think there might be some litigation going on, and apparently they weren't happy with Notional. But Jacob put a lot of conversations out there on Twitter about what's been going on and how they had done a good job. As a matter of fact, you know, the project was making blocks up until now, actually. So I don't know. Anyone seen any project leaving Cosmos to somewhere else?
I had not heard of that one.
Yeah, look them up. If you look through Jacob's tweets about I think from 2 days ago, you'll see a lot of that.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was kind of interesting in this period where we have a lot of projects coming into Cosmos. Right.
Yeah, I know some of the Terra NFT projects went to Polygon. I did not know of a new startup going over there. But yeah. I'm kind of wondering like what's going on the old Terra, like Terra Classic, I don't know what incentives the validators have to keep it running. Like it would have to be a lot of work, I would think. I don't know. Kind of should have asked
Kevin when he was up here, if he was in any chats or
I think from an IBC perspective, I don't really see relaying being turned back on. I think there's too much risk to the existing liquidity on, say, you know, Osmosis or Juno Swap, etc., to kind of enable relaying again. I always get DMs on Twitter about this and people saying that Osmo's a scam for turning off relaying and that, you know, their funds have been stolen. And I continuously say, like, it's, you just need to trade your worthless UST or, you know, Terra to whatever other coin for whatever rate you can get. And then they're like, well, it's worth five times more on a central exchange. I'm like, yeah, but like the only way to do that is to turn on relaying. And, you know, then you're basically taking liquidity away from Osmo. I don't think it'll come back. Like, I don't know what dollar value impact it could potentially have on, say, Osmo, but I think it's high. So, you know, from a Terra perspective, I think the classic chain, unless they significantly reduce the supply to make it so it's, you know, not this multi-trillion dollar asset, I don't think it will have IBC turned back on, not in the short term anyway. I think the risk is too high.
Yeah, but I just wonder, like, what activity, like, if everything is siloed off and you can't. Yeah, I just kind of curious. I know it's like all the people who had NFTs on there. Is that why the validators are keeping it up and running? You know, I don't know. I know with Terra too, they're trying to get some new projects up and running. Like, I haven't even spent any time investigating it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not too sure from a dev perspective. Why you would still be there, maybe holding on to the last glimmer of hope to recoup some funds, maybe. But IBC wise, I don't think too much will happen. But obviously, there's still central exchange trading, and you know, they may develop some stuff on the chain itself that people are interested in. But I think it'll be detached for its future, which is good to protect everyone else, I guess. But hey, you know, there's people who still have hope, I guess. I think I've got some Luna C locked away somewhere on a wallet somewhere or a DEX. I can't remember where, but, you know, it's essentially gone now. So just leave that one and forget about it. Hide the bad pain and memories away.
Well, I've got some Luna on Osmosis that, you know, inflated very, you know, was in an LP and it just, got the impermanent loss kicked in like crazy. And I'm going to keep it. It's, you know, I'm keep it there as a reminder of like, this is how things can go bad, you know, and it just, an expensive lesson, but yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. But, I think there's, I posted something earlier today about rule number one in crypto is just survive, you know, safe, be smart, know what you're getting into, know your risk tolerance, know what your goals are and survive. It's, you know, have fun, but be smart.
That's it. On that note, my AirPods are going to run out of battery, so I'm going to drop off the call. Otherwise, the audio will go terribly worse than it already is.
Good chatting with you again, Rama, and thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for doing what you do, man. Appreciate it. And yeah,
no worries. Thanks everyone. Appreciate it. And I'm hanging around, so can't scare me off that easily. I'll be around. Feel free to shoot me a DM if you want to chat about anything. Try and make time for everyone, but enjoy your weekends, and no doubt I'll talk to a bunch of you on Twitter.
Yep. Take care.
Spaces. Thanks. Yeah. All. Bye.
So Grits, probably close it up here in a couple minutes if anyone else has got anything they want to chat about, but it is getting late on this side.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I've just been working on my spreadsheet. I made it so that it has floor prices, live NFT floor prices for Stargaze and OmniFlix. and the NFT images.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, 220, how you doing, man?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Just hanging out.
Chilling. Yeah, I've had a good day. Is my day off.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. What
are you guys talking about? I just jumped in. I didn't even look. NFTs.
A lot of us hang out and are involved with Juno and the Cosmos ecosystem and some other stuff. So just hanging out, chatting, and talking crypto.
I moderate a lot of projects.
Let's see if I put. Oh, fuck. I thought I followed grids. I don't. I like to talk about crypto too. I'm a kind of crypto enthusiast, if you will.
Yeah, what kind of chains have you been following on?
Mostly Block.
Block.
Huh. Have not heard of that one.
Mostly blockchains.
Oh yeah, but which one?
I was just making jokes, man. Come on.
it's getting late.
I know. All my shit's on Ethereum. Sorry for the cuss.
Yeah, no problem, man. No worries. And you like Tesla's, a big Tesla fan.
I'm an owner. I love it. It's fast.
Sweet. Which model you got?
I got the Model Y Performance.
Nice.
By the way, if you do get the Model Y Performance, do not get the turbine wheel, the wheels, they're bull smack.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway.
A lot of people I talk to, they say they really love their Tesla and I haven't heard of that many maintenance problems. I've heard of some cosmetic problems, but I've heard that Tesla is really good at somewhat good at trying to get those fixed if there's like a ding or
don't
a
get the
scratch.
Turbine wheels. It's like you curb check the first time you curb check, it literally destroys your wheels. And come on, sometimes all of us make a right turn, it's a little too tight, and hit the curb. Well, I do because I'm an idiot. So
is it for some reason the way the wheels are, they stick out a little bit, or
yeah, there's about a half inch that sticks out from the tire, and it's just a horrible design. Why would they choose those tires? Who knows? But it's like a $2,500 tire situation that goes to shit like after the first time you make a bad turn.
Oh man! All right, well, good to know on the Model Y. But yeah, cool, man. Thanks for popping in. So mainly,
we're probably gonna get a lot of Ethereum people coming in with the new projects. And did you see the Thyborg post? Apparently, there's gonna be a project even like three times larger than DYDX. Apparently, spinning up a Cosmos SDK. So
looks like he popped down. I was gonna ask him if he had ever heard of Evmos.
Yeah, I'm almost done getting my position in that bus, actually. I'm going to be switching to Juno after.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how things recover from the little bit of a liquidity loss with the Nomad incident.
Fine. They got a fucking massive community pool that can do whatever.
Yeah, I think they can reload Diffusion because, I mean, Diffusion was pretty much the DeFi on Evmos, so they're going to have to reload some of the Diffusion holders, which, from what I understand, was not. I mean, if Nomad maybe works a little bit with them, that they can. I think it was only like around, I don't know, $10-12 million.
I don't see how Diffusion lost any money in this situation. As far as I know, it was just a bridge.
Well, the liquidity that they want to try to get built back up.
Yeah.
On Diffusion. So.
Well, they have to balance that out with just paying for it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. But I mean, aside from that, it was could have been a lot worse, I guess.
But
hack it while it's young.
Do what?
Hack it while it's young.
Yeah. It's that. Yeah, these just bridges and a decentralized bridge to begin with. It's just.
Yeah, I hate bridges, dude. I never used them. I would rather use centralized exchanges, honestly, because I move like literally such little money, like $5 at a time. I can't afford to be spending like $5 on the bridge every time I do something.
Yeah, for a transaction.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
Yeah. Well, I know Grits, you're really active in the Discord, and anyone else, just yeah, the Cosmos Spaces Discord, and I just appreciate everything those guys do to keep the spaces going and keep a good conversation going. It's been great to just see this kind of keep growing organically for Cosmos. Yeah. I think it's
I'm apparently now doing this DAO with IBC gang, so we'll see how that goes. Seems like it's pretty cool though.
With the
Manekis.
Yeah, with the Manekis. Yeah, he did the big announcement about
it's basically going to run like, you know, how an ETF works, basically. Mm-hmm. Except with a DAO and pictures instead.
Okay, so he's going to use the DAO funds that came from the NFT sale to the community is thinking about maybe investing in some of the top tier chains within the Cosmos, and then you could do like an ETF.
Yeah, and then you do a proposal, like taking those rewards and putting it into a new investment, or paying for, you know, infrastructure or building up your website, or, you know, whatever. And as, you know, things get rewards, or you make better trade choices with your new investments, whatever those are, then the DAO continues to grow. And as the DAO continues to grow, then I assume the baseline floor prices of the Manekis actually go up.
The only way to get in on a portion of that NFT or EFT or that fund would be to hold one of the Manekis, yeah, NFTs.
And we're talking about some like possible burn mechanisms, not burn mechanisms, but like, you know, buyback, you know, like maybe, let's say it's just a spitball idea. Like, let's say somebody lists something near or at the mint price, you know, and then the DAO will have like some 5% set aside for, you know, buying back the NFT and then burning it. You know, if somebody doesn't want to be involved in the DAO, then that's their, you know, it's not their fault. You know, they don't, you know, shouldn't hurt. And it would like basically bring down the supply, which would make the floor price go up, and then the fees would go up for the treasury or whatever for the infrastructure at the same time. So it would like benefit the DAO and everything all at once.
Yeah, I was listening a little bit to his announcement video, and there was
like when I was talking with my husband like yesterday, and I was like, oh, this is actually a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only like 370 of the NFTs.
270.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, which I mean, that's
amazing, dude. I did this math right, and I was like, this is crazy. Like, basically, if you hold three, you hold 1% share of that DAO, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the math works out to 0.359, which is hilarious because, like, 30.33 is like, you know, you need three to get 1%, but if that 0.029%, that's 0.3, could be like a service fee for the DAO for, you know, infrastructure and running things. So it like, mm-hmm, literally is like a traditional ETF that charges a service fee for investing in whatever stocks it picks. Essentially, it's like exactly the fucking same.
I think it'll be interesting to see, and yeah, especially if. I mean,
Tank was getting some comments from private saying like, oh, this is a stupid idea, it won't work, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you guys are all fucking morons. It actually is a thing that already works and runs in real life. It's like, it's pretty simple. It's just you don't have a big organization running it, and it's cheaper, you know. But obviously, there needs to be, you know, there's an issue. Like, you got to be able to stake your NFTs, and there needs to be DAO tooling up, and that's still like up in the air. Need like the developer knowledge is pretty much lacking in this project, which sucks. So I don't know. You have to figure that out.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, you guys, it's got a nice little starting community treasury or DAO treasury.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that can develop, like, probably better than me at coding, at least, which is great. But yeah.
Yeah. And I was looking on Stargaze. I think the floor on them was 2,000 or 3,000 stars.
No, 10.
10? The 10? Okay. I was getting confused with the knots. I was looking at the knots, and I was looking at the Manekis. I was looking at a couple other NFT projects on Stargaze. But yeah, it's 10,000 stars. But they're definitely planning on doing some revenue sharing or, you know, yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're going to, like, you know, all those ideas are just up in the air. They just voted to make him manage some of the funds and then move like some money with his strategy into staking like 50, like 25% Juno, 25% Atom, and then other half is just sitting there for now until the rest of the community decides or Tank makes a new proposal or something. And we're also talking about like some sort of system to, like, because you don't want just like anybody making a bunch of fucking spam proposals at the community when governance happens. So there needs to be some sort of level of people things go through, I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That, and then there's a lot of other cool NFT projects too that are have a little bit of use cases to them too. I'm interested to see how the Gelato.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in that because like a lot of people just end up to like gambling, so there's a lot of like free money floating around there. Mm-hmm. I'm always telling like some projects like come up and ask me to, like, they explain to me their idea and whatever, and I'm like, well, it's pretty good, but you have like no central point of a project. You know, you need some sort of value accrual, and you need to be balancing out like how much content you're putting out versus your new audience. Like, you got to be coming out with new stuff to keep the original people happy, and then you also have to be coming out with like original stuff to bring new audience, and that's so hard to balance. You can't be like, look at how hard the Knots guys are having a hard time with striking that balance, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna sacrifice one either way, unfortunately. And not only that, you're also shooting at the same fucking people all the time, so like, you need, you know, we're all in the same ecosystem, you need to be branching out,
drawing in new people and stuff like that,
or bringing in value from an outside source, not, you know, and not out of people's communities' pockets. It's got to be outside of, you know, some idea.
Yeah, the idea of the Gelato, I think they want to stick to kind of the raffle thing and, like, you know, buying tickets for more of a raffle.
On Algorand, I think. And it's a great project. I think they probably want to go a similar route, it seems like, except, like, with way more stuff.
What's the name of that one?
I think it's called Yieldy. It's called.
Yeah, and then I always wondered, like, I remember, like, you know, you go to like a large sporting events and they'll do like a 50-50 raffle, and I was trying to think of the economics behind that. I think it's like, you, I can't remember how a 50-50 works, but, you know, I'm sure they can do different types of raffles and stuff like that, or a progressive raffle to where, like,
well, we were actually talking about, like, well, what if you could bet on, like, whatever the future price of, like, the coins that the DAO invests in or whatever, and then you could do some sort of, like, lottery or whatever, and then the Gelato guys came up on to wherever we were talking, I forget, and then literally said the idea, and I was like, that's funny. We were like literally talking about that, and you guys are literally building all the infrastructure to do that right now. It's funny.
Yeah, like you're talking like you could try to hit the price of Atom on, you know, like Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and whoever's the closest
$40 or whatever, you know, like that's how they explained it anyway.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good idea. So people apparently getting wrecked on their dice game.
Yeah, that dice game. Oh, you're talking about the rack game, the raccoon game. I think I'm confused
all the time with project, with the things people are talking about.
Yeah, they're both on Juno, but the thing about the Gelato one is if you have an NFT, you can earn more of their secondary token, and the secondary token, the G key, is going to be used towards grand prize keys to try to win grand prizes at the end of the 12-month period. So they've got their secondary token. The raccoons have their secondary token. So it's they're kind of two similar projects, and it's going to be interesting to see which one gets more traction.
Yeah. Well, I know the Juno team isn't willing to give out grants to like gamified gambling projects because they don't want those to be the feature of Juno.
Yeah. So it's all going to be just building from the ground up without any grant money, I guess, is what you're saying. Yeah. Well, it's something to keep you distracted a little bit. Hopefully,
I think Juno forked out a ton of money recently. Like Jack did all that fund for Luna and all that shit.
So the Luna Dev Fund.
Yeah, I think they already did a whole bunch of money funds stuff kind of thing. I think people like Rack and those guys are kind of late. They should have been asking before all this Terra stuff.
Yeah. That's cool though. All right, man. Well, probably going to just shut it down now and just call it a night. It's getting late. Yeah.
Everybody around me is sleeping and I'm whispering.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody who stuck around this late. Definitely, if you are thinking about validators, Pupmos is still in the house. Throw him. He's an excellent validator. And Kevin was in the space earlier, Oni validator. They're both on Juno. And Cosmos Spaces has their own validator on.
Is Kevin validating for Comdex, or is that not happening?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys, we like to keep the chains decentralized, and even if, you know, someone is in the top 10, you can split your delegation. Some people like to split their delegation between four or five different validators just to keep it just spread out, which is always a good idea too. So always smart practices. But
thanks for checking out another episode of the Ether. That was the Cosmos Late Night Whispers with the Mayor and the Cosmos Spaces Gang, recorded on Thursday, August 4th, 2022. This was actually the post-Cosmonaut Comdex meeting space. So when the meeting was over, this is the space that popped up after that to give you some continuity. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Everybody needs a little hobby. Ain't left the house in a while and I'm feeling pretty soggy. Broad daylight, find the sun, get a little vitamin D. Smoke a little weed, I hit a DMT. If you know what I mean, I know you know what I mean. If you listen to me, please try to follow my lead. Every day trying to plant the seeds. Overgrow the planet with some good fucking trees. I mean, good fucking grief, what a shit show. All risk, no benefit, sure to get low. Slow-mo, simp-mo, rolling to the disco. Pulls out a knife, leaving behind slit throats. This goes to show it don't take much. When you feel the hunch, gotta stay with the rush. Never getting separated, I'm trying to delegate the memory and demonstrate a new way to celebrate.
When I was a kid, the disaster we worried about most was a nuclear war. That's why we had a barrel like this down in our basement, filled with cans of food and water. When the nuclear attack came, we were supposed to go downstairs, hunker
that barrel. Today, media's greatest risk of global catastrophe doesn't look like this. Instead, it looks like this. If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war.
This bro knows how to shut down a party. Stay at home boredom, bust it up promptly. Softly spoken, about to get it sorted. Paperwork in order, about to cross a few borders. Walking by the neighbors, about to spark vapor. Picking up odd jobs, gotta do the labor. This ditch ain't gonna dig itself. Rolling in the thick is how the haters felt. When Cinderella finds a fella dancing in the ballroom, and Alice decides to eat up all the small shrooms. Which one do you think you're gonna follow? That depends on the color of the little pill swallow. Quality control, kick the EQs up. Nothing like death and destruction to get the views up. Acting like a bunch of Yakuza. Drunk off the booze and the thought of laying down with Medusa. At Lollapalooza, I'm hitting snooze, I'm a loser.
Terror Spaces.